Hello, hello, everyone. Renee, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great, great, great. Welcome, everyone, to Intimate Realness with Mika Ray and Renee. Tonight, our topic is labels and roles. I did say that I wanted this to be a show that basically focused on labels and roles in the LGBT community and how it actually was affect relationships and dating. And Renee had a quote that she wanted to share to kind of start our topic off tonight. Renee?
All right. Yes. You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. So the quote is by Orson Scott Card. It's from Ender's Game. And the quote says, "Perhaps it's impossible to wear an identity without becoming what you pretend to be." I'm going to say that one more time. Perhaps it's impossible to wear an identity without becoming what you pretend to be.
Well, I want to make sure I let everyone know, before we get into the quote, that if you have a question, a comment, anything you want to share in relation to this topic, please press 1, and we will bring you on the line, and we will make sure you get your thoughts, you have a chance to get your thoughts out tonight. And so, Renee, when I heard this, it just made me think about sometimes we are, when we have labels or we label people, we are placed into a certain category, a certain group. And that's the way we are supposed to be or supposed to act. And then we start being whoever, being like whoever they have placed us in a group with. And I don't know if you got that exact same thing from that quote.
Well, I did. And, you know, as we talk further, one of the things I want to touch on is there's a difference between a label and a stereotype. And sometimes labels can become a stereotype that is not, you know, necessarily shared among how we identify what those particular labels mean. And that's where the other confusion comes in at, because we all identify these same labels by different definitions. And so people run on top of each other. Like, oh, that's not what a femme's supposed to do. That's not what a butch's supposed to do. That's not what a – they've even made a hybrid of words, like stem and bud and, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm just like, it doesn't get that serious.
Right, definitely. But I think those labels or those hybrids have – hybrid words or labels, I guess you could say, I think they were made – in a way for people to identify or, I guess, try to get out the box. I don't know, get out of a box, like the feminine box or the stud box, but then they created another label to put themselves in another box.
Right. We tore down the box and put those pieces of the box inside of another box.
Right, right. So I think it gets very confusing. So what do you feel is the difference between label and stereotype?
I think that when you take a title, let's use something as simple as femme. We say, okay, she's a femme. That's, if the person says, yes, I'm a femme, that's my label. That's the label.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at someone in heels, pumps, and a blouse, and it automatically says, she's a femme, and because I say she's a femme, then she must act like this. Then it becomes a stereotype. Because I went by her appearance and gave her characteristics according to her appearance. At no point did I verify with her that that's who she is.
I agree. I think that brings me to what you and I had kind of discussed earlier tonight about the fact that sometimes in relationships you have a you have the stud, you have the femme, and then you fall into the role of the stud and the femme. And the femme is the one that's going to cook, clean, take care of the household, and then the stud is the one that's supposed to go out, work hard, do all the hard work around the house, like fix some things and mow the lawn and all this kind of thing. But what if the stud doesn't know how to do any of those things and the femme doesn't know how to cook or clean, or that's just something she does that's not her strong suit? Is that something she has to do just because she's the femme?
Now, see, here's where it gets testy. And I went, and I am sure that I'm going to offend or annoy someone with my next statement, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that. But when a femme cannot cook, it simply said, oh, she doesn't know how to cook. But when an aggressive or a butch or a stud doesn't know how to do the manly thing, then they're considered weak or not unaggressive or not stud. You see what I'm saying? So if a femme doesn't know how to do some of the womanly things, you just assume that she just never had to do that. But when someone who is of the more masculine identified role, quote unquote, if they can't do something or if they don't respond in a manly way, then they're identified as weak, soft, or feminine.
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint because I don't think I've heard of that before. But we're going to put a pin in that and come back to that because we have a caller. So I want to see what this caller has to say. Do you mind?
I do not mind.
And then we will come back. We will come back to that because that's interesting that it's viewed in that way because I haven't heard of that before. So I really want us to discuss it. So give me 1 second. We will bring caller 8309 on the line. So, let's see. Okay, 8309, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hey, what's up, fam? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. This subject really touches me. I get frustrated with a lot, especially with me being single and being out there trying to meet women and stuff because I'm considered a stud. But since I've been dating certain women, they're like, well, you let me do whatever in the bedroom, so I don't know if you're a stud or not, or you can cook, so I don't know if you're a stud or not. And regardless of what I wear, I mean, I'm a Timberland tennis shoe junkie, you know. You'll never see me in a skirt or dress or anything like that, but my demeanor, I guess, is aggressive. So I guess what I want to understand with dating and everything is what's the best way to get into a relationship with somebody with the whole labels thing? Because people have expectations. And personally, if I can cook better and I can clean better than you and you're a femme, then let me handle that. If you can fix the car, then fix the car. You know what I'm saying? Like, just labels take us out of our natural element, you know?
I think that is a valid point. I do feel that labels take us out of our natural element, and it places a pressure on us to be something that we are actually not, to maybe be the stereotype that Rainier was talking about. So since I'm femme, I'm stereotyped as someone that's going to do the cooking and the cleaning, but I may not know how to cook a lick or, you know, and I may not clean as well as the stud or the masculine partner in my relationship can do. So, Rainier, did you have some thoughts on what she can do in reference to dating?
Well, it requires a conversation. See, I can relate to what she's talking about. It requires a conversation that with the people that you are dating, going in. Just find out where they are within their idea of what a role is. Because I know some feminine women that would love to have an aggressive cook for them because they can't cook. They're like, yo, cook for me, please, you know. And they're clear on that. I think it requires a conversation around what this looks like. See, here's, and I'm getting ready to say something again, I might as well get ready. When we talk about what's natural, for some people, being a woman is simply what is natural. So they,
right.
That's why the label doesn't work for them, because I'm simply a woman. I just happen to be able to cook. Or if I'm in a bedroom and I desire to have you touch me a certain kind of way. I remember having this conversation with someone, and I had to say to them, I said, you do realize that men do get, they do get satisfaction down there. They do get head. They do receive. Like, you're having
a right. Oh, my God, right.
You're having a discussion like it makes a woman less of a woman if she desires to be pleasured and taken care of like a woman. And so there's that challenge. There's a difference between gender identity and this, you don't, I don't want you to touch me. So there's a whole other type of dialogue that must take place, and that means in your dating conversation, and Mika and I talk about the dating conversation all the time, you have to say, how do you feel about A, B, C, or D? Because the most emasculating thing to do to an aggressive woman is to tell her that she's less of who she is because she has woman desires or womanly needs.
Preach, man. You hit that on the nose because, you know, I found myself telling a lot of fails. I'm like, man, look, I don't know what kind of studs or aggressives you talking to. Like, your sex must be very boring. Like, do you not get touched at all? They get around me and they're like, oh, do you mean I can really go down there? And I'm like, yeah, what else we going to do? Everything isn't about the strap and all that other stuff, you know, like, we're supposed to be experiencing each other. We're supposed to be intertwining with each other's spirit. And guess what? That strap is not a part of my spirit, you know, and it doesn't make me less of a stud. It just lets you know that, guess what? I got a little dessert for you, but I'm the main course.
Well, I think that I always say, you know, that sex is an overall experience with whoever you're with. It's not something that, you know, and that's the beauty about, I guess, being in a lesbian relationship, is you can do a variety of things. You can explore each other in a variety of ways without limitations if people will allow themselves to step outside the role or the label.
There you go. Take that limitless pill, man.
Right. So I think you made some great points. And then, Renee, you know I'm always the same. Get to know the person that you're dating. Get to know who they are, what they like, the things that they do, before you even get to a place where you're saying you are in a relationship with them, so that you know that if you like to cook, they're not going to have a problem with you cooking. They don't have a problem with you being the quote-unquote woman in the bedroom, whatever. Because you have actually taken the time to get to know the individual, and they have gotten to know you as well.
Right, and that's something that sometimes gets missed, you know. And I'm all jokey and funny about the whole situation, but that's sometimes what we miss when we skip the getting to know process and take it immediately into the bedroom. Because when you and
right.
I'm not talking. You per se, and I didn't get the name, but I'm not talking about you per se, but I'm talking to someone else that may be listening. When you talk about intertwining spirits and bringing that part of you and opening up and exposing yourself to someone in that way, then you don't know what's going to happen with what you expose to them if you just met them at 5:45 and at 9 o'clock y'all in the bed.
Right.
So
right.
It's a thought process.
You have to be careful. You have to be careful of who you decide to share your spirit with intimately. And, Renee, that brings up another point. And thank you for calling. So I'm going to put you on mute. But if you have something else to say, just press 1 again, okay?
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings up another point. Like you said, we will discuss the difference between intimacy, sex, erotica. So we will have a discussion on this so that people will have an understanding of what it is to give yourself to someone.
Right.
Physically. So I think that's a great point. I want to bring on this next caller, and then I want us to get back to our conversation about, you know, what you said about the expectations and people thinking the stud is weak if they are have some feminine qualities about themselves. So I'm going to bring on 6220. Hello, this is 6220, your own.
Hi.
Hello.
I was wondering, like, what purpose do labels serve? Like, especially in, I find that it's mostly exclusive to the Black, lesbian, gay community. And I find it interesting that in our community, we get all offended when heterosexuals label us and put us in boxes. And then we get amongst ourselves and it's, oh, you're a femme, you're a stud, you're supposed to act like this, and if you don't, then you're not this. And I'm wondering why the labels are so important. Like, why can't you just be whatever, you know, whoever, whatever your name is? Like, what is so important about the label that people feel so connected to them?
Now, I think that's a great question to have. Before I say anything, Renee, did you have something to say?
I do have something to say, but please follow me.
Okay. I think I definitely agree with you that it seems like it has been very exclusive to the Black LGBT community that we box ourselves in these labels. And it's so interesting that we put ourselves in these boxes when we have been placed in a box as a, you know, as a group of people. We've already been placed in a big stereotypical box. But then we get into the LGBT community, we place ourselves in even more boxes. So it is very complicated, and I think it's very unnecessary. And that was the reason why I wanted us to have this conversation tonight, so that we can start listening to the opinions of other people and find out what is the importance of a label. And I think, in my opinion, that some people feel as though a label helps them navigate and identify what to do in a relationship. So my opinion may be kind of far-fetched, but I feel that we really don't have an example other than heterosexual relationships. And in a heterosexual relationship, you have the man and you have the woman. So in the LGBT community, especially the Black community, we have a man and we have a woman, a quote-unquote man in a relationship, and we have a woman in a relationship because that's what we have always seen. So we think that's what we have to model, what we have to go after. But this is, we're already in a non-traditional relationship. We're already in something non-traditional, and we don't have a need to try to copy something that is traditional when we are not like them anyway. That may have been confusing, but that was my thoughts on that. Renee, what do you have to say?
My thought on it is that there is some historical background to where these labels came from. They also served as identifiers for people to not just know what roles to play, but for there to be an understanding of what someone desired to have. You know, back many years ago, it was very simple. It was butch, it was femme, you know, and that's kind of where it began at. And so you knew that the more feminine woman was just that. She was more of the woman, the butch, or the masculine, the more masculine person was the more of it, and I hesitate to use the word man, so I'll use the more dominant individual. So there's some history there, and for many people, labels serve as the identifier for who they are, so that those that come in contact with them know what they're give just a real brief example. I remember, because I am an aggressive woman, there was a time, and now I tend to vacillate between, you know, when I feel like being girl or when I feel like being boy. But when I was in my dating stages, that ability to shift appearance would throw people off. So I would end up getting people that lived inside of needing that label to know for people to be their attraction identifier. I would end up dating people that would look at my appearance and think that I fit their puzzle. So when I'm reminded of labels, I don't discount that for many of our ancestors or those that walked before us, that they meant something. Those labels, those identifiers were esteemed and prestige for them to identify themselves as that and to move in that. It was liberating. It just so happens that, you know, there didn't seem to be a gray area. And then that's where the problem kind of came in at. And it does seem to be stronger in the African-American community than it does in non-people of color communities, that we tend to move more in labels than others. So that was my 25 cents.
Well, I think you said a mouthful, and I actually definitely agree. 6220, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, what do you think about that after listening to what we...
I hear what you're saying. I just still think that it's very limiting, and that mm-hmm. if we could find a way to agree that it's about the person, like even if you were just focusing on the outer appearance, that we could still do without the labels. I could look at you and say, that is a beautiful woman, and then get to know her. Not, oh, that's a femme, I think she's my type, and then I get to know you personally, and I find out, well, that doesn't fit the label. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that there's a way that we could still navigate through dating and still identify with who we are without the labels. And, yeah, I'm still processing the whole mimicking the heterosexual relationship comments, mm-hmm. but it's going to take me a minute to process that part. But yeah, I'm very anti-label.
I'm very anti-label as well. So I definitely mm-hmm. agree and feel mm-hmm. that you are making a valid point. I just think that if we just learn to be ourselves when it comes to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lot of pressure off what's going on in the relationship, and it will also just help it go more smoother, because now we could just be who we are, do what we do to make the relationship work.
Right, right. That's where I'm going.
And it makes things easier.
Right. Okay, well, that was good. Thank you.
Oh, well, I just appreciate you calling. We appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts and opinions. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. All right. Go ahead, Renee.
You know, I just wanted to say to you, you know, I just wanted to kind of go, you know, piggyback kind of off of what the caller was saying. I think mm-hmm. that as we move forward as a community, I think, no, it's just my personal opinion that there is this space of, because so many sub-labels or so many other identifiers have emerged as far as how people see themselves, how they've become more sexually progressive or even, you know, further accepting within the identity of all of who they are. I do agree that, you know, I wonder how we change the dialogue so that someone isn't stereotyped and cut off and feelings hurt and self-esteem, you know, challenged when they don't fit the previous definitions of certain words. Because even outside of the dating, I remember someone seeing me who hadn't seen me in a while, and then I was kind of like into the stage I am now, more on the feminine dressing side, and someone said to me, literally, you know, I couldn't be your wife. I looked at them because my first thought was like, no, you couldn't have been. But, you know, respectfully, I, you know, I kind of said that. And I said, well, why would you say that? And they said, because you wouldn't have been able to switch up on me that we were together. And I just was like, oh, well, if you knew me for a number amount of years, you would know that I tend to do this. But I'm always who I am. But my thought in my mind was, outside of the audacity that it took for that comment to come fly by. But just, what if I had been a weaker person or in that self-discovery stage of figuring out who I was? That would have been totally deflating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I can agree.
I agree with this all. It has to be a place where we can exist without worrying about being chopped down and still being able to function in the world, in our world.
Right, in our world. I agree. And just to kind of, I guess, maybe throw something in there, I don't even know if it's related, but kind of related. I get the, you know, many people consider me, you know, heterosexual, I would say, because I am ultra feminine. And so to them, it's like, even my heterosexual friends, it's like, oh, you know, you don't like women, you like men. You know, that's the thing. So even just our looks, but we are placed into stereotypical boxes just by our looks, the things that we decide to wear, how we decide to carry ourselves in this community, because you can have someone that dresses a little tomboyish, you know, but be very, very, very feminine. And that seems to be an issue. And I guess that kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, that some studs who do, or people who consider themselves studs who do, or aggressive, who actually are more doing more of the domestic type things in a household, they're seen as a little weak, I guess. And I've never heard that before. I didn't know that was something that actually existed. But I guess that's because I look at people, I'm just going to take you for who you are. You know, your dress style normally a lot of times doesn't really say much to me.
Right.
So I can't label you as femme, whatever. I can just say, you know, you look a little studly, but that doesn't necessarily make you a stud in my world, or an aggressive or whatever, because you could be very, you know, very domesticated, very feminine, and, but, you know, I guess it's all about preference, too, so, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be perfectly frank, you can be a tomboy and be straight. I've seen people get the feeling of pushing a girl thinking that she was, you know, a G, and she was with a boyfriend or husband.
Right.
That applies to men, too. I've seen some effeminate men get approached about, you know,
and
you must be gay, and they're like, no, I'm married with children and have no desire to be gay.
Right. I definitely agree, because you do have metro, I guess they call them, they label them, metrosexual males who are a little bit more effeminate in their dress style. And then, like you say, you have some tomboyish heterosexual women who are not lesbian, but somebody is approaching them thinking that they are, and they're trying to get their number or sleep with them. And I wanted to ask if we have any callers out there who are heterosexual, and because I see we have quite a few callers, but I wanted to ask if there are some heterosexual callers out there who do fit into that category of being mistaken as a lesbian woman or a gay male, because I think that's also another interesting perspective to kind of bring into this conversation. I want to, Renee, if you don't mind, take another caller.
Definitely.
The last 646-3333. Hang on, let's see. And then I have another caller after that. All right, caller, you are on 6333.
Hi.
Hey, what was your comment?
Yeah, my comment piggybacks off of the previous caller about the labels. And there is an issue in the black community about femme-on-femme relationships, stud-on-stud relationships. And she's right, because if you're white, two butch girls can date and there's not an issue. You know, two femme girls can date, it's not an issue. It's an issue with us. And but what's overall, even if there wasn't any labels, naturally, whether you're heterosexual or gay, there's going to be an aggressive person in the relationship. Sometimes it's the woman and sometimes it's the man. Sometimes it's the stud, sometimes it's the femme. You know, so even in animal kingdom is even like that. Somebody's aggressive, somebody's submissive. That's just natural. That's the law of attraction. While we have to put so much emphasis on labels, it really is, has become such a big deal. But what has changed is the acceptance of self. And once that happens and you're content with you and what you want, then nobody else can really take that from you. You know, it used to be such a big deal about seeing two studs together, and, you know, people didn't take two femme relationships seriously, things of that nature. You know, our community has worked too hard to get to a point for our own freedom and respect and acceptance to have that type of prejudice in the community, and it makes it very challenging, you know. When you have pride and you see all types of life walk around and in the parade, that's the only day that you see everybody accepting one another. You know, when in our day-to-day, we don't accept the happiness that two people can feel for each other. At the end of the day, like you guys said, everybody's a woman. Now, of course, I'm not speaking of our transgender parties. I'm speaking of just that being a lesbian in general, your label should only be lesbian. And it doesn't matter if you're the aggressor or the submissive one. We're all lesbians. And whatever issues people have about not being touched or whatever, I'm sure it stems way back to their childhood or whatever. We look at gay men also, they have labels. Who's the top, who's the bottom? It's the same thing, aggressive versus submissive. That's a natural thing that comes about it. I think we went too far making it has to be stud and femme. It does not. We're lesbians, and it's a preference just like anything else when it comes to dating, whether you like long hair, short hair, you know, chunky or skinny girls. You know, it should just be a preference. It shouldn't be so... this whole detriment of it has to be stud and femme, or it's not a true relationship. And then have the audacity of what I've heard before, that to see two studs together, that's gay. Now, come on. I mean, really, you are gay. So, come on. And it goes back to what one of you said. Know yourself. And know what you need. If you're a femme and you're pillow princess femme, you know, and you just want to be pleasured, know what kind of stuff you want. Then maybe a touch me not is for you, because then, you know, you'll get everything you need and that person gets everything they need. You know, you might want to be pleasured. Just know yourself. And like you said, know the person, know yourself, know your partner. But at the end of the day, know that there's automatically going to be an aggressive and a submissive. Because two aggressives are not going to work, two passives are not going to work, two submissives are not going to work. It don't matter. Your clothes shouldn't matter.
You made a bunch of good points, and I just kind of want to touch on some of them real quick. I like that you said that, you know, in some relationships you're going to have the submissive, you're going to have the aggressive. And that's even in a heterosexual relationship. However, we know that in a lot of heterosexual relationships, that is something that's very hard to grasp, because if you have a stay-at-home dad versus a mom that works constantly, mm-hmm. you know, that mom looked at as, oh, my gosh, you're not taking care of your kids. You're not really a mother. And the dad is looked at mm-hmm. as a little weak. However, I think that if we can get to a place where we just allow things to happen naturally, just like you mm-hmm. said, we will be more happy and healthier mm-hmm. in our relationships. And we have to stop judging other people for who they love and how they love them and what happens when they love right. them or whatever, especially within our own community, because we already face discrimination outside of us,
mm-hmm.
but then we discriminate exactly. against our relationship on the inside. But if we start paying attention to our own relationships, our own life, the things that mm-hmm. are happening with ourselves, we will be much happier and stop focusing on what everyone else is doing, because it's really not our business mm-hmm. at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But you made a lot of good points, so I really appreciate your time. Renee, did you have something to say before we go to the next caller?
No, I started clapping. because what I love about all the callers that have shared tonight is, besides their transparency, but just the idea that, you know, what is so wrong with what is different when we are already labeled and identified as different by the mm-hmm. by society. So how then do we flip on what we visually see and then put that in a whole nother box? I have seen some vicious debates about stud-on-stud relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, and I get it. People say, I can't imagine, I don't like it. It's just, I can't see it. And I get that, but I mean, I've seen some vicious, almost homophobic
mm-hmm.
dialogue from
mm-hmm.
our community
mm-hmm.
about saying, you know, what they eat, you know, not a saying goes, you know, it doesn't work for me. It just becomes this tear down.
Right.
And I'm just, I'm totally blown away by it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also like that she stated that we, oh, gosh, I just lost my thoughts. It just, like, really flew out.
She broke down culture and animal kingdom dynamics. I was done. I was, like, cheering where I'm at. I was just cheering.
I don't know. It'll come back to me.
Well,
but you made a lot of good points, so I appreciate you taking the time to share. So I'm going to take another caller really quickly. Hang on 1 second. This is 7973, Shonda Ray.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you? Hey.
Good. How are you?
Renee. I'm good. I'm great. I love the discussion. Renee, I'm going to take you back for a minute. I'm going to take you way back. We've been acquainted since the years of Sable Magazine.
Right.
And one of the many discussions, and I don't know whether we had it there or we had it on the other site, but I just want to open up by saying this. What just made us die laughing for weeks and weeks was, what if we walked by a group of men as studs? We walked by this group of men, and none of them acknowledged that we walked by. Nobody said, oh, you know what men do when a woman walks by, right? Well, when the question was asked, all of the aggressive women for a moment had to think about that, because as a woman, even being a lesbian, what makes you feel really good? You know that sometimes other women won't even look at you. And if they look at you, they won't acknowledge you. They will be kind of critical of you. But you know that if a man says something to you, if a man turns around, oh, for some reason everybody has a great feeling inside as a woman. A lot of women won't admit that, but I'll move on to the other things. But you know what I'm saying, though, Renee. You know that you remember the discussion. When I came to Sable Magazine, I came without a label at all. I was given a label. I didn't know Renee. I didn't know anybody. We just knew each other by screen names. But I came into that forum with the expectations that I would be with a group of women who were just lesbians, and that's what I was, a lesbian whose preference was very feminine women. But I was not a, I didn't look like the rest of the boys. You know, I wasn't quite as tough and all that kind of stuff. So when I took the forum with this notion that I didn't have the label of stud, they ate me alive. And finally, I submitted, as we do, and I became an AG. I think that's, what's that, Rainier? Is that aggressive gentleman? Is that what I was? Or gentlewoman? I don't even know what that means, because at one time I was a shim. I've been butch, you know, I've been all of those things. Yeah, it's a long list of things. But I don't think there'll ever be a discussion. There will never be a conference of the LGB community where we get together and decide we're not going to use these labels, because these labels existed far. They've existed before all of us were alive, and they will go on forever. What you have to do when you meet people is that you have to have the discussion with them right away, because I know I'm going to offend somebody, but you need to hear this. A mustache carries a lot of weight, and if you want to grow a mustache, if you want to look that much like a male, then expect that these very feminine women that you approach are going to expect that you can change a tire, that you can chop wood, and you can do all of this while you're on your menstrual cycle. Just expect that. So you need to have a conversation with them early on in the relationship and say, you know what, baby, I just like to look like this. You know, this should be the discussion you have right before you start holding hands and all of that, because from having a lot of women that are very feminine, that are very good friends of mine, this is the problem that they have with aggressive women, is that they were, you know, they were surprised. Once they got in the bed, it's like, oh, surprise, I want to be touched too. Let them know in advance, because, honey, all of the swag, you keep the swag. But some of the stuff, you know, when you answer the phone and you're talking like this, and, yeah, girl, what's up, you know, I can do that too. But I know that if I do that, that's going to make people, you know, I'm doing that for a reason. So break the facade. It's okay. Come out of the closet, because that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm coming out of the closet. I'm just gay. I don't want to be called a stud. Also, I wanted to bring up that maybe you all are confusing touch me not with no penetration. Now, I understand it's a vagina. It has an opening for a reason. However, not everyone wants to be strapped. And I think sometimes that is possibly what people are talking about. It's not that they don't want to be touched. But if you encounter a woman that does not want to be touched at all, I would investigate further, because there is something going on if she just doesn't want you to touch her. She doesn't want you to look at her down there. She's hiding when she takes her clothes off. There's something definitely going on there. But we've got to stop amongst ourselves in relationships. I don't think it's going to stop as a whole in the whole world. I think we should stop it individually, the labels, because what you're doing is perpetuating a group of people who live in a closet who are secretly doing things like sleeping with other studs, and, you know, that's supposed to be kind of something you don't do. And let me just say, that's not something that I like, but what I don't like, I've learned to keep my mouth shut about. If I don't understand it, you won't hear me bashing them just because I think it looks funny. So I think we need to individually decide that this is who I'm going to be. It doesn't matter whether my friend who's a boy or who's a stud or whatever, if my friend doesn't understand, that's fine. But this is who I am. This is who my wife likes. This is who my girlfriend likes. And this is who I'm comfortable being. So just drop it. That's what I say. Just drop it. Let's do a campaign. Just drop it.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. You know, I would like to express that when I refer to the no touch, I'm referring to the no touch in its fullness. I'm very clear that there's a no touch and that there's a no penetration. So I think that, again, that's another dialogue. Maybe that's another topic that we'll talk about one day.
And that is an important topic, too, to talk about, because there is a difference, like you said, between no touch and no penetration. It's a preference. So go ahead.
Right. And I want to say something, because something came up in my spirit as Shonda was talking. That bashing, people bash when it doesn't fit their preference, no matter what it is. I've watched Facebook, and I've watched pictures go up of big girls. I've watched pictures go up of someone who may not be dressed the way that another one thinks is, up the par or on label or whatever the case may be. I've watched pictures of two studs. I even watched pictures of a stud that was carrying. I watched people tear that apart. We are conditioned, some of us anyway. Go back to what that young lady said earlier. When you don't love yourself, or when you have just the need to just make fun of people or address things in a certain way to tear someone down, whatever doesn't appeal to your taste becomes comic relief. And you will share those pictures, you will post those things, and people will laugh and have a good time and be vicious and be humorous and all these wonderful things. But there's someone sitting there looking at it going, wow, that's me. That may not be me, but that's me. That's my shape. That's my relationship. That's my current situation. So based on preferences, many of us have bashed or chose to speak about something we didn't understand. And it was not just, it just crossed so many lines and crossed so many boundaries. But we put it in a different classification because it didn't directly affect us.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very good point. Were you about to say something else? I'm sorry.
No, I was just ending with, I do agree, though, that labels can, in some situations, like she said, she came to the group, and I remember, it was a long time ago, God, but I remember, being in a situation where I felt that I had to, identify or be something. Mm-hmm. It was almost like an initiation. You needed to be on the A side or the B side of the record because one side had to be played, period.
Right. You had to be go ahead, Shonda.
No, I was just saying that we were in a situation where we had, not that it was a bad place, it was a wonderful group, but we were expected to be one or the other. You had to call yourself something. If you didn't, then you were just kind of the outcast, and that's pretty much been the way it's been all of my gay life. You were identified by how you looked. If you had hair, you were a femme. If you had, if you wore girls' clothing, then that's what you were. And femmes don't dance with femmes, and studs don't dance with studs. And that's just something that was taught coming out of the gate. And you don't go against, it's like almost like you don't go against the elders. These people have made these rules, and I'm new to being gay, so I'm going to be whatever. But secretly, I'm like, I kind of don't fit in. Like, I don't want to be I'm not a girl like that. I don't want to be that kind of girl. But you don't really say anything until you find that group and you find that courage that you can be who you want to be. But that can cause problems in the future. I just want to say this, Mika, because I know you made this point. Yes. A friend of mine said to me that if you allow your wife, your woman, your girlfriend, whoever, your feminine partner, if you allow her to penetrate you, then you'll lose control over your entire household. So,
that's going to be something we will talk about, next
about
time.
But
we would really appreciate you, Shonda. We got 10 more minutes, and I have one more call.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We will talk about that, and we always value your opinion. Thank you for sharing.
You're quite welcome. Good
okay.
night.
Good night.
Good night. Well, we'll talk more, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, so, well, Shonda had a lot to say about this, apparently, and I think she made a lot of valid points and things that we definitely want to make sure we address Renee Evans on another show. We may have to do another show, a second part to this, that will include some of those points she made as well as the penetration type talk, because this is a very big topic. I do have one more call. I want to go ahead and let them get their opinion because they were holding for a really long time. And then after that, we will wrap up the call. It's 8289, so let me bring her on. 8289, are you on?
Yes.
Okay. What did you have to say?
Hey, this is from a son's perspective, but at the same time, I have my sister here who's a heterosexual by way of dealing with women. So I just want to let her get a point across or, you know, just get a different perspective on things, dealing with labels and dealing with studs and femmes, because I feel that with heterosexual women, they really don't have a preference. It's just really whatever that, you know, floats their boat at the time. So here she is here.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Shonda did have a lot to say. Did she get a breath in?
Well, Shonda is our resident speaker on any issue that we talk about, so she tends to be our resident one. But go ahead and let us know what you had to say.
I mean, me personally, I don't do labels. I'm an aggressive femme, but I love to be with men also. But when I'm with women, I'm an aggressive femme. If I'm with a certain kind of woman, I do let her do what she want to do too. I mean, I'm not a one-sided person, because I mean, me personally, when you with somebody sexually, it's for both of y'all to enjoy. It's not, I don't do this, don't touch me here, don't do it. It's not about that with me, because it's supposed to be enjoyable. I don't do labels because, like my sister said, I am who I am and I'm going to do what I want to do. So, I mean, but, you know, if you've ever been in a straight relationship and you are if you do go on the other side, whether male or female, then you are bisexual. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, if you ever dib and dab on the other side of the fence, you are a bisexual. So, That's what it is, and I don't mind telling certain people that, but certain people don't know how to take it, because if you tell certain women that you're bisexual, I guess they feel like you look at them that kind of way. But just because you see a woman, you don't want her. It don't work like that with me. It doesn't work like that with me. I'm attracted to certain kind of women. I like certain things about women, and I'm just picky, but I don't do labels because I'm grown. I do what I want to do. I mean, deal with it, you deal with it. If you don't, you don't. That's just how I feel. And I've been doing this. My first girl I messed with, I was 17, and I'm 34 now. So, I mean, I sleep good at night, but it doesn't really matter to me what people think or say, because they're going to do it anyway.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing that. One thing that you spoke about that I do want to kind of say really quickly is that even by lesbian women face the same exact thing when it comes to, oh, you're going to look at me a certain way because I found out you're a lesbian and I don't want you around me because you may be attracted to me. But it's just the same thing. We're going to be attracted to who we are attracted to, and then you may not float my boat in any kind of way. So I do feel like you did make, you know, you made a valid point when you spoke about that. And I feel like sexuality, all in all, is very fluid. And you are attracted to who you are attracted to, whether it's a male or female, and you have sex the way you want to have sex. That is what I teach when I do any of my seminars, is that your sexual, you are in control. You are the source of your own sexual pleasure, whether that's with a man, a female, with both, whoever. that is up to you. It's no one else's business. So I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts. We do have to wrap up the program, though. So I want to make sure I let everyone know that they can make sure you join us on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. That is our station. That's where we have Brunch in the Basement with Javon. We have Sunday Evening Shout with her on Sundays. Brunch in the Basement is on Saturdays from 11 until 1. Sunday Evening Shout is on Sundays from 6:30 to 8:30, I believe. And this week, I have to find it. And while I look for it, Renee, you go ahead and share what you wanted to share. And then I'll find who is our guest on Saturday's show for Brunch in the Basement.
I believe it's the Jones, Shirley Jones from the Jones Girls. But I think that's her guest for Saturday. Also,
yes, that's
it.
That's the guest for Saturday, the Jones Girls. Thank you.
You're welcome. I will be in Los Angeles from the 10th. To the 15th, I'll be in Los Angeles at the Con West Conference. It's a conference, a sex positive conversation, the conference that includes sex educators, everyone that deals in the sex industry on ways to continue to have sex positive conversations. I will be part of the Urban Erotica Showcase that's taking place Saturday night, and also part of the panel that takes place Sunday morning on homophobia in the people of color community. I speak on homophobia and religion. That's what I do. Also, just really quick, on the 13th, I will celebrate my 39th birthday. So to kick off my pre-birthday celebration, one of my books, Pit Crew, How to Survive a Spiritual Pit Stop, will be available on Kindle as of tomorrow for free. So for the next 5 days, from the 9th to the 13th, you'll be able to go on to Amazon and download Pit Crew, How to Survive a Spiritual Pit Stop for $0.00. So that's...
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What a beautiful gift that you're given on your birthday.
Yes.
We celebrate you. Make sure you post that in the invite that we have up right now for Intimate Realness, so people can see the link. Okay. Also, every first, third, and fourth of the month, I do the G-Spot with Mika Ray. I do have a variety of hosts that come on. This week, well, Monday, September the, I think that's the 18th, 17th. I don't know. But on the next Monday, I will be talking about, me and Joy, we will talk about confidently approaching the opposite sex, or like if you're a female approaching a male, or if you are femme approaching a stud, or vice versa. So we will discuss that on Monday's show. And, of course, we always do Intimate Realness every second Monday of the month. So you'll all stay tuned. You can visit us online. You can visit me online, www.mikaray.com. Make sure you, I will post our WJBR Facebook page in the invite in just a moment. So make sure you like that page and stay up to date on everything that we do WJBR. And we appreciate you all. I hope you all have a great night. Hello. And Lanier, hope you have a great birthday.
I will.
If I don't talk to you before then. Or then. Okay. You all take care.
You have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.